Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Woo! Man, I can't get up here fast enough. Woo! Man, I got to pick longer ones next time. Wow. Well, this is about the time that we dismiss our children from here from Splash, but hold on one second, because I want to include you in a couple things here before I dismiss you to your worship time. I was coming out of my neighborhood this morning. By the way, good morning. Good morning. It's good to be here, isn't it? Yeah, it is good to be here, to worship together, to do what God has asked us to do, and to be pleasing to Him. Amen. Well, I was walking here when I got a car. I was driving here this morning out of my neighborhood, and there's a lot of folks that walk their dogs or walking in the morning in our neighborhood. Well, I was getting close to the front of the neighborhood, and there was this young fella, and he's out walking his dog, but he's not walking. He's actually on one of those little things that have two wheels to the side, and he's just like moving, and the dog is right in front of him. And not only that, he's got his phone in his hand looking down. And he's just going along. And I'm going, what in the world is going on? It's like, is it too hard to walk? I mean, it's just a little dog, and the dog's got little legs, and you're just walking down the street a little bit. And I got to thinking, and you may think this is weird to think this, but I am so glad that there are people in this world who take their jobs seriously, and they do what they're called to do. I don't know why that connected with me, but I don't know if you know, this week, on November 11th, is Veterans Day. And it falls in the middle of the week, and most of the time that's when they celebrate it. But so I'm going asking the Lord, okay, Lord, do you want me to talk about it this week, or you want to talk about it next week? And it was pretty obvious in my heart that the Lord wanted me to say something today, because I am so glad that we have men and women who answer the call for our country's sake, for our own livelihood's sake. I'm so glad that they didn't take the easy way out and ride that little thing. You know, it just got me thinking that he's taking the easy way out here, and we've got people in our country that have given their lives, their time, sacrificed their family, money, I mean, limbs. I mean, people have come back, their minds. People have come back from battle from other countries, and they brought it back with them. And they live with the consequences of that, yet they still gave. They still gave. And I want to say thank you to those people. I remember my father-in-law tells me stories. He was in the Navy. And he talked about his job in the Navy, and he's one of those guys that would, he showed us pictures, and he would get up, and we went to visit his ship that was his dry dock in Virginia. It's in Virginia. I can't remember what city of Virginia, though, now. Norfolk. Thank you so much. Norfolk, Virginia. We went one Thanksgiving a few years ago, and instead of being here for Thanksgiving, we went there, and he showed us. The ship has changed a little bit. It's dry dock, but he showed us where he worked, where he slept. It was the coolest thing. But he told us about how he would have to climb way up in the towers, up where the bird's nest is. And he and another guy would have to fix the radios up there, no matter what the weather was, no matter what was going on. And I just think about the stories that he tells. And then I think about everybody else that has given up their time for the sake of the country. And you know what? No matter what king, what president, what prime minister, what queen, no matter who's in their office, there is always a need for men and women to step up and go and do what we need to do on behalf of the country to protect the country, right? So if you have served or are presently serving in a branch of military service, would you stand right now? If you have served or are presently serving, and we want to thank you for your service. Thank you so much. Thank you so very much. We're so thankful. And I wanted our children to see that. That's one reason I wanted the children in here. If you are part of Splash Group, Splash Children, would you stand right now? Would you stand if you're part of Splash? And I want you to come up here before you go back to see Miss Carol. Come right up here in the front, real quick. How many we got? 1, 2, 3, 4. Great. This way. Come this way. Come this way first. We have been talking about tithing. We've been talking about giving. We've been talking about obeying God. And you know what? It's not just for us. These are truths that Scripture says to pass down to generations, to be obedient to God, right? So we teach our kids. So here's what I want you guys to do. Turn around and face me. Face me, all right? I want to give this to you, and this to you, and this to you. Here we go. Here we go. Hold on to that a second. Hold on to that. Hold on to that. Do you know why we bring money to God's church and give it? Anybody want to venture a guess? How? Why? That's right, to serve the people who need, right? We serve a community who needs, and God wants us to trust Him and be obedient, yeah? So what I'm going to help you do, this is just a, I mean, I know you think you're going to get to keep this, but you're not going to get to keep this, and I'm sorry, but I promise you that when we give, we get blessings. So when you go out with Miss Carol, out those doors, on your left, there will be a basket that you can give this offering in that basket before you go down to worship, okay? Because this is part of your worship, all right? All right, so you guys follow Miss Carol, and she's going to show you where to put that, okay? Amen? Amen. All right, good. Good, good, good. We have to teach our children, and as Scripture says, we need to remind each other all the time because we need it, right? We need it. Well, there was a father that gave his little girl $2, and he said, you can do anything you want with one of those dollars, but the other dollar belongs to God. With joy, she ran to the candy store. On the way, she tripped, and one of the dollars fell into the storm drain. She got up and said, well, Lord, there goes your dollar. How do we see our money? How do you see it? Do you see it how you want to see it? Or do you really desire to see it the way God sees it, that His Word explains it? Last week, in our first week of this message series, the power of giving, and there is power. The one who gives it all owns it all, and He's powerful. And when He gives, there's purpose behind His giving. God never does anything halfway or without thinking about it or without purpose in it. We serve a purposeful God. And so when He gives, there's power in His giving. And when we do what He's asked us to do with it, there's power in it. And we're going to talk about that today. Last week we talked about, in the first week of our message, we were reminded that God must be first. We were reminded that He must be first with the best, the first fruits, the first 10%, not the second or the third or what's left over. He has an order to Him. We serve a God who is ordered. God is not so much concerned with the amount as He is the order in which we give because it reflects a heart, which is where He looks to find intent and motive anyway, a heart that desires to be obedient to God. That's what He's looking for, someone who will say, yes, Lord. And a heart that desires to be obedient to God is one that will trust and step out in faith, even when we don't know the outcome. Which that's faith anyway, right? That's what faith is. So we bring, we talked about last week, we don't give, we don't pay, we bring the tithe to God because that's what belongs to Him. You can't give something that doesn't belong to you. So you bring which He has asked of us, and we bring the first 10% to God. Scripture tells us He will redeem or bless the rest when we do that. We talked about those things from the Old Testament with the animals, that when you bring the first and the best to God, He will bless the rest. We talked about that the clean has to be sacrificed to redeem the unclean. We talked about how that goes back to Christ who came. We were born unclean. And Christ who is clean had to come to redeem the unclean so that we could be reconciled to God. God invites us to test Him in this, Scripture says. He is actually daring us to do this and see if His words are true. Let me read the passage that we ended with last week. And it says this. It comes with a promise. Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe. Not half the tithe, not a quarter of the tithe, not an eighth of the tithe, the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing. How much blessing? How much blessing? That there will not be room enough to store it. Who wants that kind of blessing? I got both hands up. Come on. I will be a steward of that kind of blessing. Test me in that, right? That's what I'm saying, Lord. I mean, that's what you say when you go buy that Mega Millions and that Powerball. It says, Lord, if you will just let me win that, I will give so much to your cause and the church. We say that to ourselves sometimes. I've said that myself too. So we do that. Pray with me right now. Father God, we love you. We thank you, Father, that we get to talk about what's important in your word, your very words that speak to us. Every word is true. Every word in the scripture that you inspired men and women to write, every word is true from beginning to end. We must believe that. And if we believe that, we must walk in that, God. And not only walk in it, but share that and remind others to do the same. Because you are a God who wants to pour out blessing to his people, but you're seeking for someone who will be obedient. Father, may that someone be us today. May we come to the conclusion in our hearts and minds that God, whatever you say, we will do. We love you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Watch this video.
Jaden has $1 bill, one quarter, and two pennies. How much money does he have? Jaden broke.
If you didn't like that, it's my wife's fault. If you liked it, it's my fault. Okay, no. Charla showed me this video. She throws stuff at me every once. I said, oh, that would be great. And it was just something off of Facebook or Instagram or something. But this little kid, you've had those lessons, right? You're reading these lessons. Jaden had $1 bill and a quarter and two pennies. How much did Jaden have? Jaden was broke. Jaden didn't have very much. Jaden did not have very much. Have you ever felt that way? You look at your bank account and say, I'm broke. I don't have very much in my bank account. But that's okay. Because if you're following the Lord's, if you're being obedient, it doesn't matter what the balance in your bank account says. God has it all and can provide it all when he needs to provide it all in the manner in which he needs to provide it all. It's trusting in him. Do you believe God has the resource, the ability, and the will to provide everything you need? Amen? That should be a big amen. Come on. Amen. Philippians 4:19 tells us, his word is true, right? And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, this is Paul speaking, but let me break this scripture down real quick. And I've said this before, but remember, I said some of you who have heard this is a reminder, and maybe listen for something else, and for this is the first time, this is a revelation for you to walk in. So Paul is speaking, this is a promise in Philippians 4:19. One, it's personal. He says, my God. He says, my God. That's personal. Then it's positive. He says, my God shall supply. When we know supplies are coming, that's a positive thing, right? When we know it's coming. Then it's pointed. My God shall supply all your need. And our needs are different, right? So he's a personable God. Then it is plentiful. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. And he's got all the riches. He's got it all. And then it's powerful. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The power of the resurrection. He conquered death. The greatest miracle ever. One like that has never been done since. This is the power behind God's promises. In 2 Corinthians 9, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything," that's a pretty incredible statement, "so that always having all sufficiency in everything," those are pretty absolute terms, "you may have an abundance for every good deed." You may have an abundance, that's a lot, more than you actually need, for every good deed. Another verse will say, "for every good work." You've heard it said that when God gives you a vision, he'll make the provision, right? He will. God wants to multiply your finances so that his work is financed. You see, hear that? God wants to multiply your finances so that his work is financed. How does God's work get done? Through his people. We are the people, his children. And he wants to do the work of the kingdom for the kingdom through his people. Jesus had to go so that the Holy Spirit could come. So that he would not, Jesus not walk with us, so that the Holy Spirit in us, that Jesus would be in us and go with us. Not beside us, but in us. God's work can be accomplished to come to completion, however you want to say it, because God's work is bigger and greater than just you and me. But he wants to be able to trust you and me with his work. I meet with I mentor a fourth grade boy at Freeman's Mill every week. We usually do it on Monday or Wednesday, depending on what the schedule looks like. And I was with him this week, and I help him with academics, or I have some fun worksheets. This Zoom thing, I'm learning it, and it's great. I can share a sheet. We can work on a thing together. I've got M&Ms and Skittles I'm taking to him in the morning because I've got something planned for tomorrow when we meet, and he needs to have something. But this past week, I helped him with some of his math problems. That's the area where he struggles in. I said, "If there's one thing you want to accomplish before the end of the year, what is it?" He says, "I want to raise my math grade from an 85 to over a 90. I said, "That's doable. Let's work on it." So we worked on, he was having some struggles with multiplication. I said, "I'm not a math guy, but I'll find the answer." I did. We worked on multiplication problems, and we're going to do that a little bit this week. Today's message is about how God wants to multiply, not add. He wants to multiply. We know that's bigger and better and more abundant. He wants to multiply what he has blessed, but it won't multiply unless what is blessed is given away. It can't. It's not going to multiply if it just stays with you. If it's blessed, we must give. That's what we're going to talk about today. How many of you have ever seen addition in your finances that you add? I got $1 and I got another dollar, now I got $2, right? How many of you have seen subtraction in your finances? Whoa, more hands go up. Wow. Well, we need to take care of that, right? Right here and now, if you believe and walk in it, God can multiply what he has for you. How many would you like to see it multiply? Amen. We would. But what we're going to talk about next week is the heart that we have. We can't just want it to multiply for multiplying sake so that we can build it up in the bank. When God multiplies for a believer, he's got a purpose for the kingdom. And we must have that same purpose and align with God what his purpose is. We learned last week that when we give the first and best to God, and the rest will be blessed. You can multiply without God's blessing, but if we want God to multiply our resources for the kingdom and what we have left to be blessed, we must follow the principles that God lays out for us to follow. So let's look at a picture, a memorable picture, story in the Bible where multiplied blessings occurred. And you've heard this story 100 times probably, but maybe you didn't hear it quite like this. In Luke 9, follow with me. It'll be on the screen. Luke 9, starting with verse 10. On their return, the apostles told him all they had done. And he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. When the crowds learned it, they followed him. And he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing. The Lord was doing ministry and healing. Now, the day began to wear away. Key phrase. The day began to wear away, which means that they had been there for a while. And the 12 came and said to him, "Send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place. But he said to them, something that they probably didn't expect to hear from him, you give them something to eat. They said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. Now let me pause right here in the scripture. You've probably heard this before, so it's a reminder. If you've never heard this before, this is part of the Jewish culture. The way they counted crowds is they counted men. They counted, in other words, the men of a household. So when you hear those numbers like that, those numbers are usually bigger than that. So when they include the ladies and the children, the women and the children, there were probably, it's estimated to be between 15 and 25,000 people there following Jesus, hearing his words about the kingdom, being healed. This is a long day. Back to the scripture. And he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. For 25,000, those are small groups. See, small groups is in the Bible. Small groups is in the Bible. It's biblical. We need to be in small groups. And they did so. They went for about 20 to 25,000 people and put them in groups of 50. Can you imagine how long that would take? And they all sat down. And taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and he said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate. There's a big space in there between verse 16 and verse 17 that we need to talk about. And they all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces. I mean, just hearing the story, it poses a lot of questions, right? When you look at Scripture, you need to look at it and say, okay, what was happening? Where was it happening? Who was it happening to? What else was going on? Whoa, there's something missing here. What happened between here and here to make this happen? Scripture is telling us that the crowds followed Jesus and he spoke to them and did some healings for about around 20,000 people, right? Verse 12 says, now the day began to wear away. It's getting toward the end of the day. Jesus had been at this all day and the day was coming to an end, and the disciples came to him and said, send them away, because they were probably hungry. And the people and the disciples, Jesus tells them, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. You 12, give them something to eat. What? 20,000 people and we're going to feed them? Not only that, but before you do, have them sit in groups of 50. No megaphone, no microphone, no cell phone for texting. 12 disciples getting 20 to 25,000 hungry people, maybe grumpy people, but definitely tired people, in groups of 50. That takes up even more time of the day. So after the disciples come up with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, they bring it to Jesus to pray over. And I wonder if when Jesus prayed, if they thought that right before their eyes it was just going to poof, turn into a lot of food. But Jesus prays. Then he gives it to Peter and the disciples and tells them, it's blessed. Now give it away. Key phrase. It's blessed. Now give it away. I can see them with a blank stare in their eyes. Like, really, Lord? It's still 2 fish and 5 loaves. It's blessed. Now give it away. There's still 20,000 people here. We have to have more than this, Jesus. And Jesus, I can think, have you ever done a scripture and like, he had to tell them again, I bet. Say, guys, it's blessed. Now give it, just do what I ask you to do. Just do it. You got all these questions, and I understand, but I promise you, your questions will be answered. Just do what I ask you to do. Remember that sentence. It's blessed. Now give it away. So the disciples went and gave the food out to 20,000 people. Scripture tells us that they were all ate, they were satisfied, and not only that, there were 12 baskets of broken pieces left over after all of that. Question, when did the miracle happen? Was when they brought the food to Jesus? Was it when Jesus prays over it and blesses the food? Was it when he gives the two fish and the five loaves back to the disciples to feed the people? When did the miracle happen? It happened in the disciples' hands when they gave it away. We don't see how God sees. God says, I know what's about to happen. You got to trust me. We look at temporal things with temporal eyes and say, that is not enough. Jesus is enough. He's got enough and can make it enough. So here, two simple principles out of this. Principle one, it has to be blessed before it can multiply. Now, we can do things. We can invest and we can look at the stock market and we can move our money and blah, 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 2% here, 1% there. We can do all that. And we can multiply our money over time, whatever. But that doesn't mean it's blessed. But for it to multiply it for God's purpose and the way God wants it, it has to be blessed by Him. It has to be blessed before it can multiply. Just think about what if they had taken the fish and loaves and given it away without Jesus' blessing? It never would have multiplied. The reason it multiplied was because Jesus blessed it. So no matter how small it is or how large it is, with the blessing of Jesus on it, it can multiply. Whether it's a small amount or a large amount, when Jesus blesses it, it will multiply. But without the blessing of Jesus, it can never multiply the way God has intended. And church, we have to understand that. Principle two. It has to be given away to multiply. It has to be given away. In God's economy, that doesn't make sense. What? If I give it away, I don't have as much. Not true in God's economy, because it's about the kingdom. It's about our part in the kingdom. And God has already promised He would take care of us in Scripture. The miracle can't happen unless the Lord blesses it, and it can't happen unless it's given away. The miracle happened when the disciples began giving away what the Lord had blessed. The miracle is in the hands of Jesus' disciples and happens as they are giving it away. The same is true for us. Because God's kingdom, that's what He's about, His kingdom. His kingdom grows when we walk in obedience and give a blessing away, because then it blesses others. And they see God, and they believe in God. Then they'll trust in what God did for them, and they'll accept that, and they'll walk and receive Jesus, and then they, in tune, can become disciples makers as well. Do you understand that there are people who tithe and give the first to God, but they don't give over and above the tithe? They don't give over and above. Remember last week we were reminded that we bring because it already belongs to God. When we bring the best of the first fruits, the first 10%, to God, the rest is redeemed or blessed. So in essence, if we don't give away what's blessed for the sake of the kingdom, we are eating what's blessed. It's blessed because they gave the first to God, but they don't give over and above, so it never multiplies. It stays the same. Church, maybe this is you. There are people that want their finances to multiply, but they won't give the first to God. But they'll give here or there or to this or to that. I've known people whose tithe would make a difference in making the church's budget or not, and they didn't tithe. But they would give to special projects. When something was not budgeted or was needed in an emergency, they wanted to give on their terms. Remember back when we talked about Cain and Abel? That the offering was an offering was brought in the course of time. It was about attitude. We're going to talk about that more next week. But it was the manner in which it was brought. It wasn't how God wanted it. It wasn't how God asked for it. And sometimes we let our hearts get in the way of joyful obedience. Because I believe it's a circle. When we act in obedience, I mean, when we see it multiply and we give it the way it's supposed to be given and it multiplies, who doesn't find joy in that? to see God's kingdom grow. That's exciting. And to know that you were a part of it because you just walked in obedience. You just took what was God's and said, here, God, it's yours. It's the first. It's the best. It's yours. He blesses it. Now you give it away. It multiplies. Wow. God's economy. But then there are other people who give the first to God, but don't give over and above. Their finances will never multiply in regards to benefiting and growing the kingdom of God. And isn't this what we all say we want? We want God's kingdom to grow? I mean, who in here wouldn't say that? We all, if I went to each individual and asked you that, you would say, yes, I want God's kingdom to grow. God says, this is how. Isn't that why we are disciples and disciple makers? You know, over and above, I say that a lot of times, you'll hear me say that over and above your tithe, because I want you to get that the tithe is first. When you hear me say that, it's like the tithe is first. You have to honor God in this. And then he'll direct you to give in these other places. Sometimes we don't tithe, but then we'll give an offering over here and say, oh, I tithe this week. That's not a tithe. Remember we said it's the first and the best to God. It's not what's left over. It's not in your hands. It's about what God wants in his timing. That's what this is about. So, like, for instance, like we bring up things all the time in here. We ask you to give to over and above your tithe. Like we got coming up the Thanksgiving meals through our food pantry. I mean, we're up to 30 families, maybe over right now, of providing a Thanksgiving dinner for. And it's so exciting. We do this every year, and the food just comes. Because people who give are given in the right way, and it multiplies. It benefits these families and grows the kingdom. These families are being ministered to. Some of them have come to Christ. Some of them have walked in obedience and become part of a church fellowship. This is exciting. But when you give your donations out here, it's over and above your tithe. It's not, well, I'll take my tithe and I'll go buy food this week so I can give to the food pantry. That's not it. We give our tithe, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Let it be blessed. And then God will take the blessing of what's left and he'll multiply it. He'll guide you to say, this is what I want you to do. I want you to bring 5 cans of yams. I want you to bring, when you go to the store, you'll find this incredible sale on stovetop stuffing. Oh, it's $10 for 10 boxes. That's a deal. I'm going to get them for the food pantry for the Thanksgiving meal. God, and that seems kind of trite, but it's grand, the grand scheme that God will provide when God is ready to provide when we do what's right. And so when you give, which you can get one of these on the way out, it tells you what we need, and not only that, Grant sent out this week, and if you didn't get one, I'm going to send you to Grant, because he'll tell you, no, I'll send you to Grant. If you didn't get one, an email, there's a link that you can click on, it says here. And you click that, and I tried it out, it works. It takes you to the page where you can check off the things that you want to get. That way we know how much of the stuff has been committed to, and we don't have to overbuy stuff and have stuff left over. So you can do that. But here's also the list so you can see. And then go on to the link and see what's been given, what hasn't been given. And then you can go to the store, and once you get it, you can click it right there. I'm going to pick this up. Click, click, click. It's on the website too. On the homepage. On the homepage, you go to the homepage, thefountain.church, and it's there. You click on the picture, it'll take you right to the spot where you can click the things that you want to donate. And the 23rd, well, the 22nd, they're going to put it together. The 23rd, we've got 30 plus families coming to partake of that. And it's not just the families that have been coming. You know, we have this ministry, this mentoring with Freeman's Mill. God has opened the doors to go deeper this year. And if there's something I'm thankful for the pandemic for, it's this. Now, I don't get to be face-to-face in front of the boy that I mentor like last year, and it's not an hour, it's only a half hour over Zoom. But God has opened the doors for not only us to minister to the children, but he's allowed us an opportunity to minister to the staff because they are hurting. I don't know if you know a teacher. How many teachers we got in here? We just got one. Kelly, where's Kelly? Oh, Kelly's back there. Thank you, Kelly. Both hands up. Thank you. I knew that. Teachers are having a hard time. because they're teaching in person and they're teaching online at the same time. They've got double the work. And some of these teachers, Mrs. Miller over there, the counselor who I'm in touch with a lot, saying that the teachers over there are staying up till midnight. And some of them are technology challenged. Imagine that. And this has been a challenge for them. And some of them, there's extra. They've got a parapro who's battling cancer right now. They've got teachers who are hurting. There was one teacher, she told me, that said the teacher had twins 2 weeks, and then she reported, and now she's working with twins at home. It's like these teachers have so much on them. So God has opened the door for us to minister to them, and they're receiving it. We got a chance. Grant went over Friday with our credit card, and we wanted to do a treat for him. We got the Great American Cookie Truck. We treated all the staff to an ice cream or a cookie. Just as a treat to say, hey, we're here for you. We support you. And not only that, and they were so gracious, and they don't normally do this, but they believe in us, with them. We planted seeds in the soil, and God is watering, and it's growing. They gave us the name of every staff person that we can pray for them. This sheet right here is front and back. There's almost 100 names on it of every staff person at Freeman's Mill. I want you to take one. It's out on the table as you lift, on your left. There's one of these sheets. Take it. Give some of your time to pray for these people by name. Because they need it. They need it. And you never know if one of these people, they don't know Christ in the same way you and I do, it will open up a door to see His provision in their lives and see greater, greater prosperity, not just in finances. And we never know if there might be salvation out of this. So you take that sheet and you pray for them. We agree that God wants us to put His agenda first and experience the blessing that comes with being within His will, right? We believe that. But let's flip the coin. Let's look at the opposite results, because the opposite can happen when we don't walk in obedience. There are examples in Scripture pointing to us to see that when we don't put God's agenda first, then He will not bless and even take things away from us. Job, we know the story of Job. He's quoted as saying, "The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away." That happens. What is also true is when we choose to put other things in front of God's agenda, we can end up having unexpected results, of course, such as unfulfilled lives and lack where we should have plenty. And only like, wait a minute, this is supposed to add up. If I have this and I add this, I should have this. Oh, wow, I wonder why that hasn't happened. I want you to, there's this amazing passage in a book that I bet you don't read very often. The book of Haggai. Haggai, is that in the Bible? What is Haggai? It's two amazing chapters. The book of Haggai, prophet of God. And I want to read from Haggai chapter 1, starting with verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel. I probably messed that up, but that's the best I can do. Governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, "These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord." Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. See, this is evaluate. It's in the Old Testament too. Evaluate. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Evaluation. Examine. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts, because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. All I have called for, and I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, and on all their labors. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, that name, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message, I am with you, declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of, you got it, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Sometimes, and I don't know if you saw that in there, sometimes when we don't align ourselves with God, but we say that we do, or, you know, and they say good intentions, the other side happens, not just the blessing, but God will take it away. When our minds and our hearts and our purpose isn't focused where God wants it to be. And you heard in there, well, while you take care of your own houses and build your own houses up, the house of the Lord is falling apart. The house of the Lord is in ruin. I don't want you to hear that God's not saying, don't put good things in your house, okay? Well, I must not do this to my house because I got to give it to the Lord. I'm going to live in a tent so I can give it all to the Lord. And believe me, there's been people who have read the scripture that way. And that's what they do. God wants to bless you with good things. What father, scripture says, doesn't want to give his children good things, right? So does the Father. He blesses you with things so you can be a blessing to others. So the house that you live in is not just yours. It belongs to God. The car that you drive is not just yours. It belongs to God. The bank account that you have, no matter if you look at it and say, I'm broke, or if it's got a plethora of money in it, it's not just yours. It's God's. And if we walk with God in the way he says, the blessings come, but the opposite, church, is true. When we don't do what God has asked us to do, we not only miss out on the blessing, sometimes he'll blow it away. And why does he do that? I believe that he cares enough about us to do that. He loves us enough to do that because he wants our attention. He says, I want you to trust me. This, I said I would do this. You're not following me. You ever said that to the kids? You said, hey, you're not following me. Listen to my words. Listen, watch my mouth speak. This is what I want you to do. And if you do it, it will go well with you. That's the principle here. That's the purpose. God wants to bless us. Have you ever stood in front of a vending machine? Hungry and anticipating that incredible treat that you're about to get, you have your heart set on, and you put the money in, you push the appropriate button, and nothing happens. Everybody been there? What do? You shake the thing, don't you? That's what you do. Yeah. But the machine is out of order. Right? The machine is out of order. If it doesn't give you, if it doesn't work, it's out of order. And here in Haggai 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, the prophet is sent to deliver a message from God to the Jews, informing them that they were out of order. Their priorities were out of order. And the loving God he is was there to remind them. A bit of backstory now. The Jews returned from Babylonian exile in 538 BC and began to rebuild the temple in 536 BC. But after nearly 17 years, they had become preoccupied with their own lives and had put aside the rebuilding of the temple. They got bored. They wanted to make their own selves look good. They had given into the influence of the people around them who convinced them that they were wasting their time building the temple. They fought against political discouragement, and eventually they stopped working on the temple. And why? To focus on themselves. That selfish nature brewing up. And using his prophet, the Lord showed them that by focusing on the paneled houses, redecorating their homes and such, there were consequences that they did not realize were connected. The scriptures shows the financial stress they were in. The contrast of planting much but producing little harvest and eating but not being filled speak to a state of not being satisfied and not having enough financially. We've all been there. They were experiencing depletion of money, unexpected expenses, and even a shortage in crops by not putting God first. We are putting our resources in bags, it says, with holes in it. And it goes away. It comes in, but leaves before we know it. But interesting enough, in verse 9 and 11, God takes responsibility for the financial strain. He says, I blew it away. I'm the one, and I admit it. I blew it away. Have you ever found yourself living paycheck to paycheck, working overtime and still not have enough to pay the bills? Often this is just due to realities of living in a broken world. But sometimes this occurs when we are not good stewards of the resources and are guilty of making the wrong choices. Because especially for believers, we said at the beginning, when we trusted Jesus as our Savior, that we trust Him all the way. That we surrender all. But did we truly surrender all? There's a paradox in Proverbs 11 about giving. It says, Proverbs 11 says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. God's economy, not ours. This scripture shows that God sometimes gets involved with our financial state and blows our money away in order to get our attention. Why would God cause or allow these circumstances? He tells the people to build the temple that he may take pleasure in it and be honored. The resources of the people went to personal projects for 17 years. He wanted to redirect their attention back to building his house. But this was more than building project. It was God helping people put him first. We read at the beginning in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. And it's often used as encouragement to promote the tithe and bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. But there is a promise that comes at the end of that in verse 11 and 12. Listen to this. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. And the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. God will provide everything you need. And people will see that God provides, because he'll see the state of a joyful and cheerful giver, one who walks in obedience with the Lord and has everything that they need. You know, we talk about giving our tithes and giving our offerings every week. Well, except when I forget to mention it. And I have done that. But I want to mention it to you this way. And we've said it before, but giving our tithe, when we're obedient, we're actually worshiping God. When we walk in obedience to what God has said, we say, God, what you say is true, and it matters to me, and I'm going to do it. That's worship to God. And we try to make always, you know, in our growing societies and everything, we make it available. So like if we have a basket out there. So if you brought your tithe and or your giving over and above that, there's a basket out there for you to put your check or your cash, whatever, just like the kids did when they got their dollar. It's out there if you so choose to take it that way. Or you can go to give.thefountain.church. Do we have that slide anywhere, by the way? It was up through the rolling announcements. But give, it's easy. Give.thefountain.church. Matter of fact, if you took your phone out right now and did it, it would pop up. And you would be able to give online like that. It's so easy. I, for one, like to bring a check because I like to bring my tithe and my offering. That's just me, though. It's not. Doesn't mean that giving online is anything less than that. It's about the heart, right? It's about how we give. But we make it easy so we can do that. So we remember that. We help each and remind each other because we want all to worship together the Lord in the way He's asked us to. So if we bring the whole tithe in the storehouse, if we do it cheerfully, not begrudgingly, and if what is left is blessed and given away, God will open the floodgates and pour out a blessing multiplied. But though God's people had put things out of order in Haggai, when the prophet told him, we're the same. We do it too. We get out of order. The encouraging word God has for us in verse 13, it says, I am with you. Even when we're off track, God is still with us and always helping us to get in alignment with His will. He's going to give us chance. He's going to give us reminder. He's going to give us grace. He's going to give us mercy. He goes, hey, you didn't get it. Maybe you'll get it this time. Isn't it great? And a blessing in of itself is when we hear God, we hear His voice, and we can take what happens to us, that it's His voice, and we know that God spoke to us. What a blessing that is when you know that that was God. Amen? And the other way that He did that, the greatest way that He reminds us that He loves us, and we celebrate this every week. We remind each other every week that this is important because He sent Jesus to remind us that He loves us, that He cares about us, that He wants us with Him. His greatest sacrifice, His greatest gift, for God so loved the world that He gave Jesus for you and me, generously, sacrificially. And when we come to this time of communion, that's what it's about. It's about remembering. It's not a thing to bring guilt or shame over us. That's not of God. We need to look at it cheerfully with joy that Jesus did this for me. I am so glad that He did it for me. And be grateful, full of gratitude. And just give Him praise during it and remember what He did for us. Would you pray with me? Father, we love You. Thank You for today. Thank You for helping us see in Your word, God, how when we take what You've blessed, Father, and we give it away, Your kingdom benefits. And that's why we're here. We're part of Your kingdom. We're part of the puzzle. We're a member of the body of Christ, who gave His life for us. I pray right now, Father, that we are honoring You because of Your sacrifice. And Jesus, for You willingly going to the cross and then proving You were God's Son, You rose from the dead. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. And thank You for reminding us that You are always with us. May we honor You today in all we do, in all we say, and be full of gratitude because You deserve that. You deserve more than that. Bless this communion now to Your glory. To our remembrance, may we never forget what You did for us. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.